Gonna try to pop the hands. There's a tap. Marvin Vettori's been waiting for it. Takes less than a round to take care of it.
You didn't even have a fucking beer since January because of this, you know?
All right, have the bleep button ready for Marvin Vettori. Knee to the body. Abreu's down. Sweet dreams. Turns out the lights on Abreu.
Well, he found his way to get to that knee, and it was nasty.
I just wanted to come out and show what I really am. Dominant.
Jamal, sweet dreams here.
Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm very tired today. I didn't sleep at all last night, but we're going to jump right into it, I guess. We have two guests. We have Jamal Hill coming up in a little while, and Marvin Vettori, who is fighting the main event this Saturday against Jack Hermansson. And it's everything was so upside down. I think it was supposed to be Hermansson against Holland and Vettori against Jacare. And then due to COVID tests, now it's just going to be Hermansson, Vettori, and Jacare against Kevin Holland. So we should get to Marvin.
Yeah, let's get him in here. We've got to get to the bottom of that. What's up, Marvin? How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
I like the way you jumped. You jumped all over this. All over this.
Well, I mean, you know, bigger opportunity. To be honest, they took away another week of misery because I've seen people catching this bullshit ass COVID everywhere. I'm like, I'm cutting off a whole week and bigger opportunity. Very different opponents, but the way you prepare for it, I feel like it's kind of similar, you know, like a good grappler and orthodox, little adjustments, but all it matters, to be honest, like this guy is number four, is going to put me right in the mix. And that's all I care, really.
Yeah. You've moved up, man. Like, as far as like the magnitude of the fights, like, wasn't your last fight with Roberson? You guys had that called off a couple times, then all of a sudden you were the co-main, correct? And now you are fighting in the main event, which is just awesome. Have you fought a main event before? Is this your first?
No, hell no, never. And actually, it's the first main event for any Italian fighter. So it's massive, man. It's massive.
And how does it feel? Like, are you happy that it kind of came about this way? Because there's not a whole lot of time to think about it. You just all of a sudden now here you are, you're in it. There's not a whole lot of time to get nervous and lead up to it.
Because I mean, like, the camp, it's went very good. I'm healthy. I'm super ready. And, there was a little bit of a stretch of, for the wake up, but it's fine. And, I've been seeing, Hermans on the way he fights, to be honest, we fought in the same show, before coming to the UFC. Actually, our last fight right before the UFC was I believe I had another fight after his fight, but we fought in the same show back in Italy in Venator, and so we fought before, and I've been seeing him for long. Like, I know how he fights. I feel like I know him. Like, so I don't need to like yeah, of course I'm gonna go back and watch some of his fights again, but like, I know the way he fights, you know, so it's a great matchup and bigger opportunity. And that's it, man.
It's good. A lot of guys don't know Jimmy or a lot of the fans because, you know, Israel Adesanya is a big superstar now, a champion, the champion. And, you know, Marvin, he went three hard rounds with him. That third round, I remember, I just watched it earlier. He lost a split decision. But I'll tell you, in between that second and third round, this is what I like about that fight, Marvin. And of course, listen, you both grown since then. I know he has, and I know you have as a fighter. But this is what I love in that, between that second and third round, was when your corner is saying, they said it was 1-1, whether he won the first two, whatever, that's the debate. But to you, they were telling you, look, it's 1-1. You need this third round. And you made the corrections. You were getting in. You were getting them down, using nice control on the floor. You were countering with the punches. You did what you needed to do in that third round. So that really showed a lot. about yeah. you as a fighter.
And I remember being tired, but I'm like, but that's I hit a switch sometimes in the third round. It happened in the Omari fight too. I'm like, fuck everything, man. I didn't come here to fucking lose. And if there's somebody that's gonna quit, it's my opponent, it's not me. So I just went out there. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what he's throwing at me. I'm just gonna go forward and grab something on him, you know. And no, it's good. I mean, I know, like, it's yeah. They told me I'm 1-1. I need to fight, and I'm like, man, this is big. I need to win, and I'm like, yeah, let's go out and win this round.
It's got to feel good. To know about yourself like that, because as far as being in there with him, because he's taking everybody else out. And you got to know that you've gotten grown since then, much like he has, I'm sure. But I'm sure you're chomping at a bit. So this opportunity gives a lot, puts a lot of eyes on you. So this is the perfect opportunity.
Yeah,
no, start, you good. Know, the seas.
And talking about Adesanya, just so, man, he came out of. You should watch that. It'd be fun because I know you're a high level jiu-jitsu competitor and teacher and everything. And I just saw he put out a video. I think Athos made a video of him going and rolling with all of them. Man, this guy, it's not good in the floor, man.
I'm
sure he you know, he's like, he definitely grow as an MMA fighter, of course. Like, he took like his game in the way, like, you can see he has some hips, he has some understanding of, like, he has a good understanding of the balance, but he's still very raw, man. And yeah. I can't wait to fight him again. But I'm 100% focused on Jack Hermanson. But I'll send you the link of this video if you want to watch it later.
It with Galvao, right?
He rolled with a bunch of guys. He rolled with Hinger. He rolled with Barbosa. He rolled with Galvao. He rolled, and they did like they put together a few videos.
Okay,
it was funny. But I roll with the same level of guys on a weekly basis, and you know, I know the level, and I know what I'm about and how he's looking, and yeah, because I go to Humble Barral every week to train jiu-jitsu, you know, and
oh,
I train
with like
I train with like Humble, Gabriel Arges, Edwin Najimi, and these guys. So no, it's good.
Speaking of tough, though, because you said Homolo. Pronounce his name for me. I'm sorry. Homolo?
Homolo. Yeah.
Homolo. I always kill his name. He's such a nice guy. Did you ever see his competition when he got caught in a footlock and it went to the opposite way? Yeah. It was Jimmy. And this is how tough this guy – this is how tough his jiu-jitsu coach is. He got caught in a footlock, and it literally was facing the other way. And he's just like, you know. Tough day in the office. Tough day on the mats. Yeah. Dude, it was literally the facing – Yeah. Right? You seen that?
Yeah. I saw that. And then the ref stopped it, not him.
I know.
The ref stopped him. Like, he didn't, he was like, well, you know, like, kind of like Jacare style when he let, like, Roger Gracie broke his arm, basically. Like,
yeah.
He's like,
that's old school.
Yeah. He's like, because I remember, because those was, like, I think, semifinals. And if he would have won, I think it was ahead of one advantage or something. And so he would have just, won and then close the division with his teammate. So he was just like, whatever, man, like, pain is temporary, glory is forever. But he's already 5-time world champion, so I mean, it's not that, but he's amazing. A G, man.
Yeah, well, you're working with great people, so that has to make you feel confident, especially going with a guy like Hermanson, where I think it's great that you were getting ready for Jacare. Again, they're both, I mean, he's a little bit more wacky, Hermanson, with some of the stuff he goes for. But again, very high-level jiu-jitsu guy, as like similar styles where you know you got to be on high alert down there, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he's fresher, like he's more high energy the way he fights. But in terms of like how much aware I am on like between those two guys jumping for any submission, I would have been more scared of Jacare, to be honest. I'm like, man, like, if Jacare is on top of me, then I have to be really careful I don't expose myself. With Hermanson, I'm really confident to go in any kind of scramble. Like, I don't care, you know. I don't see him controlling me in any way, and I don't see him catching me in any way. Like, it's just I'm really like used to it. But with Jacare, I would have been a little bit like, you know, he has like some crazy kimuras, like I cannot like
Kimura and Marcelo Garcia. Yeah. Kimura and Marcelo get back in competition. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, yeah. He's an old school guy. Some of those old school guys, you know what they're going for, but yet sometimes they can still get it. Like, you know, they're trying to mount you, and it's a different thing than some of the newer school guys in those newer games where there's like a lot of rapid fire, a lot of stuff thrown at you. But if you weather that and you're good in scrambles, you could be okay.
True, true, true.
You know,
hard fundamentals. Like sometimes those like yeah, with the scrambles, like you get away with it. But sometimes top position, like some kind of position, they're so tough. Like they're, yeah, yes, they're very tough. Yeah. Yeah. So no, so I like this matchup, Hermansson. And like I said, I've been watching him for a long time. I know what it's about, and I like it.
And how did you find out? And exactly how did they let you know about this? That because it's been so crazy. In the entire every fight has got fighters dropping out. It's got, you know, people are changing and matches are being made that might not be made yet. And it's great opportunities for some guys and lost opportunities. So how did you find out, like, okay, listen, this is what we'd like you to do?
Well, it's funny because I was actually supposed to fight Omari Akhmedov first. Then they changed it to Jacare. And then a week, like 2-3 days ago, I'm training. I'm a lot by the phone, I'm not going to lie. And when my manager calls me, somehow I'm never on the phone. And I was training. So I see two, three calls from him. And I see a message, call me whenever you have a moment. So I call him and he's like, man, you got an opportunity to fight a number four in the world. Kevin Holland is out. You want to take it? The 5th of December, I already knew because I knew that was the week before. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. I think it's good. It's a big opportunity. It's going to put me right in the mix. And matchup is great. And don't forget, like, he's been preparing for a completely different guy than me. Actually, right. He's been preparing for an orthodox guy, skinny guy with no wrestling. He's way, way worse jiu-jitsu than mine. So I'm happy.
So you were preparing for someone.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Did you say way worse jiu-jitsu than yours?
Yeah. Oh,
I like the way he goes, a skinny guy with no wrestling. And then I thought he was going to give him a compliment with jiu-jitsu because Kevin Holland could pull out something. Then he goes, and way worse than jiu-jitsu than mine.
But he's been submitted a couple times.
Oh, that's, wait, did you have something with Kevin Holland or no? You had something?
Whatever,
it's fun though. It is fun. It's fun to talk about.
I got something with everybody, I guess.
It's good because you don't give off a douchey vibe. You give off a confident vibe. I want to know why you're not getting along with these guys. It's good though because you might be fighting.
It's such a long story, man. Me and Kevin Holler go back for a moment because I actually met him at a UFC event, like randomly, and I saw him coming by. I knew him that a little bit from before, just from the TV, because he fought another Italian guy, so I just knew who he was. And I see him walking in the UFC on a UFC event, and funny thing, right? One guy come by, and it was kind of early, and one guy asked me to take a picture of them, like, so he was like, this guy comes up and says, oh, can you take a picture of us? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll take a picture without me. Kevin Holland sees this, and Kevin Holland just got into the UFC. Kevin Holland sees this, and he's like, no, Marv, like let it go. Like, don't take it. I'll take it for them. Like, you're like something like, you're the man. You should not take pictures.
Okay.
And he took the picture for them. So we were cool for a moment. We were actually cool. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, nice. You're a cool guy. Yeah. Then, back in March or something, something kind of weird happened because my fight got canceled, the one in London. And then there was a few guys that didn't take the fight with me in April and that around that period. And one of the guys was Kevin Holland, and he didn't take the fight. So then it goes by, and I see him in May when I was about to fight Carl Robertson, and Carl Robertson pulls out. And so he pulls out. I see Kevin Holland in the lobby, and Kevin Holland comes up to me all nice, and he's like, oh, you know, like, I asked the UFC if I could fight you just because, you know, I feel sorry that the guy pulled out. And I'm like, yeah, man, but you're fighting, because there was two cards, one on Wednesday, one on Saturday. So he's like, yeah, but I'm like, they're not going to let you fight both, you know, and you're not going to scratch your fight to make my happen. So I was like, yeah, thank you, man, whatever. But we remained cool. Then I remember this. I went up and I went up to my room and I was like pissed about all these guys not, like, I was pissed that Carl Robertson not accepted, like pulling out, and then these guys also not accepting fights. So I did a memes with like me putting this, like pushing the stroller, and I put him inside too. But he got pissed because moments before I kind of was nice to him and then I put him in the stroller. But it was true though. Like I didn't say no bullshit because he actually admitted it, that back then he turned me down. So I just did the stroller and I put everybody that turned me down and he was in it. So then from there, everything changed. He got really mad at the stroller. And then from there, after his fight, I saw him there in May, like after his fight, because he fought. And then I wasn't, but I was still there, like around the UFC, going to stay there because I was hoping for somebody to step in on the Saturday to fight. So we saw each other. And after his fight, he was all mad. We actually squared up and Mick Maynard was there. So I was like, man, I ain't going to punch you here. Like, I'm not trying to lose my job just because I want to punch in the face. So then, you know, it just kind of like.
So it came from the stroller. The stroller was a meme? What was it? It was a something on the computer?
Yeah, on Instagram. It was a while ago. I put like a lot of people, like, all the people that didn't want to fight me, I put them on the stroller.
All right. So you did the first with the shots fired. But it's, hey, listen, you have enough friends. You got Romeo Barrow and all those guys. You don't need
them. Exactly. I'm saying, man, like, we can be friends if we're in different division. I have one friend. It's Kelvin Gastelum. He's my teammate. Yeah. He's my friend. We train. We smash each other every time in the gym. That's it. I don't need no other friends. Sorry,
buddy. Man, listen, this is not the friend business, Jimmy.
It does sell fights too. I mean, it really does. People are, because there's so many good fighters, and all the divisions are so competitive. When it's real and when people can sense it's real, it does help. Like that Roberson fight, people saw what happened with you two guys, and people wanted to see that fight even more than they had wanted to before. So that helped push that fight into a co-main event. So it definitely is smart when it's real.
No, it's better when there's a little bit of heat behind. And, you know, I have my own way for dealing with this thing. A lot of people don't like it, and I like that they don't like it, you know.
It's good. It makes you laugh.
How are you after the fight? Like, do you kind of go back or after the fight, or are you the same? Like, you and Carl Robertson, have you guys talked at all or no?
No, we haven't talked, but at the same time, he goes his way, I go my own way. It's fine. We have any business we had to do together, it's over.
Yeah, you're done. Okay, good.
He's not looking to make any new friends, Jimmy.
No.
He doesn't need any. He needs some enemies. He doesn't need any new friends. I love it. I like it a lot because you know why? It's not like he does this and then he gets in the octagon and doesn't fight like an animal.
That's right.
He's a great fighter. This is good. Marvin, you got to do this for Italy.
Thank you.
How is Italy? Is it doing all right over there?
Man, I'm pissed at the government, at the Italian government. They're closing down again and stuff. And I don't know, man. I don't know. It's fine. I mean, it's a little bit like they have a curfew again and they're starting to close down again. But I feel like before or later, everybody's going to get this at the end of the day, to be honest.
Yeah, it's starting to feel that way. If they don't get the vaccine out, it's definitely starting to feel like we're all going to wind up with it. 80% of us are going to wind up with it, so we might as well just catch it and move on.
All I know is this fight's this Saturday. That's all I know. That's all I give a shit about.
Main event. I mean, and this
awesome.
Look, and I know you have to look at Hermanson. I mean, he is ranked number 4. You can't look past him. But you know that if you win this fight, and it's an impressive win, it could really put you on everybody's radar to get back in with Adesanya if he decides to come back down from light heavyweight. It's amazing what's happening. There's nothing good about 2020, but some of these matchups and some of the ways fighters have been maneuvering just because of COVID making opportunities has been really interesting. So congratulations, man. I'm happy for you. You deserve a main event, and I can't wait to see this fight.
Yeah, Marvin.
Yeah, man. I'm so pumped, man. I need to stay centered, you know, because I'm too excited, to be honest, but it's good. I'm taking it day by day and the weight is coming off and I'm good, man. Tomorrow I'm getting to Vegas and It's good, man. Like, I feel like this week that they took off was actually like, it would have been a week of misery. And I'm just a week closer to the fight.
Right.
It's already 5 weeks. The weight is good this morning and Ken went well. You know, I sparred last Friday. I would have stopped anyway. I didn't want to go. Like, that would have been my last sparring, even if I would have fought on the 12th. So that's it. I'm not overtrained. I'm ready to go, man.
Marvin, to unwind, what's one thing you like to do besides training? A hobby? Maybe you're a movie guy. You got a Netflix series. Maybe you're a big book reader, comic book reader like Jimmy. What do you, like myself, Jimmy? I can't throw you under the bus with that. Marvin will throw you right in the locker and give you a wedgie. Marvin, give me a hobby. What do you like to do in your off time?
I don't do much. I just chill. Yeah, I watch. I definitely watch a lot of Netflix. Yeah, and
turn me on.
Starting to do
What are you watching on Netflix? Anything I should watch?
I watch Vikings not too long ago. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, amazing, amazing Vikings, good. Jimmy. Make fun of it now, Jimmy.
I would never make fun of Vikings with two of you liking it. However, I will only watch. If you can get one more fighter to say Vikings, I will watch it.
So good. So good.
And then which series you were in? Like where Jimmy was in? I saw him.
Jimmy? Could have been, Jimmy, what did you, no. The fucking show you were in? The priest.
Oh, Power? No, it's got to be something.
Oh, Power. There we go.
Yeah.
I watched Power.
Oh, you saw that. Okay.
He likes it.
That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. I never watched it. Whenever I'm in something, I don't want. Like I just, you know, you do it. You don't. You want to watch. But everybody loved the series. I think the series is done now. But yeah, I never watched it. I know I got killed. So yeah. I didn't want to see that.
No, I think. Yeah. But Andre killed you, right?
Andre did. Yeah. It was. Yeah. It was freezing outside in Lower Manhattan. Yeah.
The only time. But you a little pervert or something?
No, I just had to go.
I
had to go.
Don't miss around that way with priest, but you were.
Yeah.
It was a good show until the kid took over. I didn't like the last part. Until Ghost was in, it was good.
Did Tommy take over again? I never saw. I don't know how it played out.
The last part was about the son of Ghost.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit, man.
And then it's about high school, and I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a huge show. I never expected to get more than one episode, so I'm happy I got 2 years out of it. But I'm glad you liked it. So Vikings is one. Now, Matt's been telling me about Vikings. I've never seen it, but I will watch it because enough guys seem to like it. So that's on my list.
No, Viking is good, man. The first 3-4 series are very good.
Yeah, fifth and sixth. Of course, with Ragnar.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, they get you pumped up. All right, now listen, as an Italian guy, do you like the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe? Do you look at that like the guy the Scottish people look at the fucking Braveheart?
it's
the Colosseum. Right? I seen that around the block from my house. I fucking know.
Well, actually, I'm way up north in Rome, but that's a good one, man. I remember as a kid watching it a lot of times.
It's beautiful, it's great,
yeah.
What a great movie,
it's a great movie for sure.
Hey, where are you now, Marvin? How far do you have to travel? How far? Sorry to interrupt you. How far do you have to go tomorrow, to Vegas?
I'm actually going to drive. It's like a 4 hours drive. I'm here in Orange County, so too far.
Yeah, it's great. That's avoid the flight if you can.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, man.
All right, awesome.
So,
Marvin. All right, brother.
Yeah, always good talking to you.
We're going to be watching, dude.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, good talking to you, Marvin.
Always fun being here.
Yeah, great seeing you. And congratulations on getting the main event against Hermanson. It's a big fight. And, I mean, I'm really, really happy for you. So, we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure being here.
All right, Marvin. Take care,
Marvin.
See you.
You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now, maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's High Performance Sports Nutrition Line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters. Now, the holidays this year are sure to pack a punch, and so will this weekend's UFC 256. As some of the sport's most respected fighters step into the limelight this weekend, be sure to check out DraftKings, an official partner of the UFC. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Fantasy MMA, it's easy to play. You pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars all week long. DraftKings is also offering plenty of fantasy contests for all the sports that have returned to action. Plus, don't forget about football season, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs every week of the season. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code UNFILTERED. That's how Matt and I stay employed. Promo code UNFILTERED to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the entire weekend. That's promo code UNFILTERED to get a shot at millions of dollars. What are you, too good to win millions of dollars? Download, enter the promo code, get a shot at winning millions of dollars only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Is my background getting fucked up, Jimmy?
It was for a second, but I don't want to say anything.
I'm sick of this shit.
I don't want to say anything in front of company. It's okay. It's the lighting, Matt. I think it's your lighting.
It is my lighting. Unfortunately, I do this in my bedroom.
Yeah. Do you have an extra light? Like, I have a light that actually will shine on me, which gives me, maybe you buy like a little light to put on you, because sometimes that will help you agree.
Maybe that'll be better. So I'll just do like a little night light.
Or a spotlight. I'm a night light.
Big baby. What am I, a big bald baby? A nightlight. But I need something, because this ain't good. This, let me tell the unfiltered army what happened last week, Jimmy, because I embarrassed you in front of your
friends. No, never.
And then never. It warranted a phone call that really just wasn't even warranted. Yeah. Just me blabbering and you just being like, it's okay. That's pretty, well, listen, if for people don't know, I jumped on the Anthony Cumia show last week.
Yes.
Because that's Jimmy's friend. For the people, the old school guys from the Opie and Anthony show, he was Anthony.
He's Anthony.
People know.
Yes.
People heard Opie and Anthony. But anyway, Jimmy was on that show for years, and he's got his own show. And I went on a couple times before, and I like it because I like Anthony and I like Dave Landau. I like
me too.
He's such a nice guy. He's around my house.
He's very funny.
He's a short guy. Yeah. I like that.
He's a little, a little fella.
I like him a lot. So I was so happy to be on with you, making an appearance. And then my background, around a couple minutes in, a little bit like what's going on now.
But worse.
It
was worse.
You're not trying to make me feel better.
But it didn't, like, it's the type of thing that all of us who've been on Zoom every day, you're used to seeing guys Zoom. Like, your audio was good. That's all that matters.
But picture, like, we're talking right now, but with my attention span, it was going like different colors, then green, then yellow. And I go, I want to just leave. Like, I'm not even having fun now. Now I just feel like I'm ruining the show.
You weren't ruining
the show. That's what you said. No, Jimmy, you hesitated. What?
You weren't ruining the show.
You hesitated. I counted the five Mississippi before you just said
that. No, I was debating. And I'm also looking at how old I look on my camera. So I'm ruining the show with my fucking old man face. But no, you didn't. It happens on Zoom. And now it's happening. You need a light, I think, on you, Matt, to illuminate you. I think
we're going to do this. We're going to do this by next time. Well, you know what it is? Normally I have this is night. It's morning time. When it's whatever. What are we talking about? Let's talk about the fights.
Pumped. By the way, I mean, look, I love Kevin Holland too. And I, again, a Holland Vittori, who doesn't want to see that fight? You know, there's so many so many matchups that are especially in the middleweight division now, and it just seems with Adesanya, if he decides to like literally not come back down for a while, what do they do? I mean, do they fight for an interim belt or, God? I mean, I know, but you never know how long somebody lays off for, and the UFC in recent times has gotten a little less willing to wait for long before they put up that interim belt, which I like. I like that.
You know what? You know what I gotta mention here.
What, man?
Which we should have started the show with.
I think it's gonna be what I should have. I'm thinking the same thing.
Lion Hizzle, Jimmy. Our pal,
yeah. What a great win for Anthony.
Let me tell you, Anthony Smith, oof. Lionheart. You know, yeah, he had a couple of tough fights.
Yeah.
You know, and he needed to get back in there and get a win. And he did so with in amazing fashion. He looked great. And his jiu-jitsu looked on point.
Yeah.
He got a beautiful takedown. And then when he lost the position going for a twister, he was going for a twister, which is amazing. And you've seen it there. But sometimes when you go for something like that, if you lose that arm, you kind of lose the position. And that's what happened there.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like a tight seatbelt position, he was going. So, but listen, you know, if he would have got it, that would have been phenomenal. But even that he didn't get that, even though he didn't get that, I love the fact that the second it was on his back, it wasn't. This is the difference. This is what I like about guys that with a dangerous ground game, not just a guy who's hard to keep down, because that's annoying, but that could get taken away with fatigue.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's easier to get taken down. You could be dead tired. You could be Anderson Silva in the fifth round versus Chael Sonnen losing every round and pull out a triangle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of that technique. So he was fresh, but you saw him going for it. And when you're trying to keep a guy's shoulders pinned, and you're trying to do that from in the guard and you're squared up like that, you leave yourself open for several things. And if a guy's good for a triangle, that's one of them. So I'll tell you, what a beautiful triangle by Anthony Smith. And it just, just jiu-jitsu 101.
Let me ask you a jiu-jitsu question, because they were talking during the fight about,
I know what you're going to say, Jimmy,
an adjustment he made where he turned. They said that he turned his body, like he kind of turned his body to the side and made it much tighter than it was. What did they mean by that? What did Smith do? Because I watched the replay of it, and again, my eye is just not trained enough to know exactly.
Well, it'd be great if they could play it now, but I'll tell you out of my eye, like what I remember is when you're going for the triangle, if you're square, it could be hard to finish. If the guy's a little wide, but if you put your foot in the hip and you get a slight angle, like my butt now is facing more towards his knee, my shoulders aren't in line, it's slightly off, okay, now you have a bit of an angle, and that angle could help the triangle. I believe the arm wasn't even across, he just had the one carotid artery in there, but because he was so his head was so forward, it went on very tight.
He reached up. I know. Is that common to reach up and grab your own leg? I think Anthony was reaching up and grabbing, it looked like he was grabbing his own leg. He was doing something to make it tighter.
Well, I don't know. Producers just like play the ending for me or something.
Yeah, I don't. I just remember watching that stuff and not.
Not only was it, I mean, I remember the beautiful triangle, and I could walk you right through it. But the thing is, it's also a night with some other beautiful submissions.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it wasn't every fight on the prelims was a finish, a sub or a TKO, two subs, two TKOs. What a great night of fights.
Oh, no, it was amazing. It was a really good night of fights. And then besides that, this morning I watched Marvin's fight again, Marvin Vettori versus Adesanya. I watched that one. And then I watched Jamal Hill in his last fight when he
came with the jiu-jitsu fighter.
Beats in Abreu. Yeah. That was, man, I'll tell you right now, what I like about Jamal Hill is he's got these knees. He's got the punches suck, but the knees are brutal because – guys sometimes can take a bat to the head, but when you get their body right, you've been seeing that a lot. Listen, you've been seeing people like not with a knee, but Walt Harris with a kick to the belly. That's also, right. Caitlin Chuhagan.
That's right.
You know, seeing a lot more of these stomach strikes, whether it's the liver or whatever, they're just getting taken out. So, you know, and the worst thing about it is, when the pain goes away, they're like, "Hey, I'm fine." Got a mark on him.
His fight
down the body.
You know, it's funny you say that too. Against his fight against Alexander Popek, his on the Contender Series, that was mostly body shots that he brought him down with. I think it was in the second round, but he was driving knees and he was collapsing standing up to body shots, which you don't see that often. Like you said, you named a couple of examples, but I like watching that because you don't see it very often.
I'll tell you, and Jamal Hill, though, this is big for him, though, because he's fighting, OSP.
OSP, yeah, another southpaw.
But it was peace. You know, he finished two out of his last fights. And the one he lost a split decision to Ben Rothwell. But, you know, he finished with a TKO to Alonzo Menifield. And then he also subbed a Michael, pronounce that for me, Oleg Jiddick. Thank you. Anyway, listen, Jimmy. Jimmy, listen.
By the way, you know what Jamal Hill has too, which is nice? He has a great left body kick because they're both southpaws. So he has a great left kick to the body against righties. How it will work against Ovince St. Preux, I don't know. But he also has a beautiful kick. That's one of my favorite things that St. Preux does is that powerful body kick. So yeah, this should be interesting because OSP likes to go to the body as well.
And Jamal Hill is undefeated.
Not only in the
UFC, 3-0 in the UFC, but 8-0 overall. So that's wild.
Wait, is he 3-0 or 2-0 in the UFC? I thought he was 2-0 in the UFC.
I'm reading 3-0.
I'm probably wrong.
And I'm looking at his last three fights. So
I've been known to be an ass. So I'm
probably so do all producers, not Zuri. I can't attack Zuri. He's too nice. Antonio's nice too. I know him longer, so I can attack him more. Zuri, I'm looking out for you, buddy. We have some nice people. Anyway, but listen, I'm excited about it. Let's talk, but before we get Jamal on here, we talked about Anthony. Listen, Anthony Smith, I'm happy for him, man. I really am. But what about Miguel? How do you pronounce his last name?
Against Takashi Sato, that second round submission, that arm
triangle. I love that arm triangle. And know what's funny? In that second round, when he went for that arm triangle, or head and arm choke, we call it also, you hear his corner going, you got 50 seconds to finish him.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, ground and pound. They want him to ground and pound. But he knew. I guess he's also a black belt, Miguel. So he knew that, hey, man, I get my arm around this guy. I have it right there. He probably felt it. Like, I could just get him right here. And sure enough, he did. He strangled him. And it was really, it was done. That looked great.
And you know, Matt, what you just said reminded me of something I'd want to talk about. What you said, because I remember specifically him yelling, you got 50 seconds to finish him. I watched the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight.
I watched that also, Jimmy.
And I got to be honest. I mean, look, you know, they're older guys. Tyson's fucking cardio was pretty impressive. I mean, Tyson, for a 54-year-old guy, looked like he was in great shape. He moved well. And his cardio is really good. And what annoyed me so much about this event was this fucking crowd noise pumped in. What are you doing? Like, I hearing these guys grunt, because you could kind of hear Jones and Tyson grunt.
You're a crowd.
Yeah. There was,
I didn't watch it live. I watched it like
crowd noise was pumped in. And I'm like, you don't need it. Stupid. Like things like you talked about right there. You got 50 seconds to finish them.
You need that. Yeah, you heard that.
Things that you missed in this. And I'm like, why would boxing get this wrong? Especially in an exhibition with Tyson.
You're not with it, man.
They were groaning and like, you can hear them. And I'm like, I wanted to hear that. I didn't need to hear fake crowd noise.
But I think for 2 minute rounds, like it was a little bit like the clinching could have been broken up a little quicker.
Agree. Yeah.
But I understand the reasoning, Roy. Yeah. I get you. Listen, man, you're Mike Tyson. You might want to tie him up a little bit.
And the ref probably was like, that their age, I think the referee gave them more clinching leeway because of the age.
Listen, I'm a big fan of both guys growing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I enjoyed it. But, dude, I just enjoy mixed martial arts so much better. Me too. I am looking forward to the fights this weekend, and we'll be talking about that next card. But also, you know who's looking really good on the other card? Gina Mazzani. She's really looking. Yes. She's been working with James Krause, and she's just really looking really to form, man. Like, she's ferocious. Rachel Ostrovich is crafty on the floor also. Yeah. She did. They showed that nice north-south escape she did. That's an old school escape, actually, where she was, Gina was going for a north-south choke. She was almost, looked like she was sinking it in. And Rachel did like a backward tumblesault to get her hooks in. You know, she lost the position, but Gina was on top, on fire, standing up. She just looked great all around. She looked great. So hats off to her. And it's funny, dude. You should, like, she has like a funny Instagram. Like, she'll do like a picture of her just smiling and then do like a corny joke. I like her.
Yeah.
We should have her on soon.
Sure.
Let's have her on soon, guys. All right. Oh, I believe we have Jamal.
Jamal Hill is ready. Yeah.
Let's talk to Jamal.
Let's get him on. This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one. Looking for a new home or you want to save on your current mortgage? Visit rate.com and you could get massive savings with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Rates are at a historic lows and you could land that dream home or refinance to potentially cut your current payments in about 15 minutes. Visit rate.com today to get started with Guaranteed Rate. Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. Savings, if any, vary based on a variety of factors. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS Consumer Access. There he is, Jamal Hill. How are you?
What's up, going on, folks? How y'all doing?
Excellent. Really looking forward to this this fight. Now, how did this? So we were talking about your excellent body work. Like, you really seem to do a very effective job of hurting guys in the body. Like that win against Alexander Popek and that big left kick you have to the body is nice to watch.
I work on touching up everywhere, you know. Openings, you know what I mean? I want to take advantage of every opening. Body, a lot of people, a lot of times, you know what I mean? When you go upstairs and you mix it up like that, the body is left open a lot. And I wanted to be very proficient at taking advantage of that.
You know, Jamal, talking to you like this, I feel like it's like we're really like in real time because you're 6'4" and I'm looking up at you. Oh, there it is. I thought I was right. It's like if I was right next to you. I'm like, I got it, Jamal. Really? You like the body work? Looking up at him. Jamal, those knees, let me tell you, as a guy that has a head full of cement, no one likes getting hit to the body. Yeah. Sucks. Just like Jimmy was talking about. And those knees, that's when the one you ended your last fight with Kitson. Yeah. Brutal. When did that get in the arsenal? And when did you start saying, this is going to be a big tool of mine that I'm going to
use? Honestly, I never really just look at it like my tools and just be like, oh, this is like a big tool of mine or anything like that. It's just more so I just want to be proficient with each weapon, try to perfect my weapons, perfect my tools. And then whenever the opening is there, I can take advantage and I can use those. I've always had good knees, like powerful legs and things like that. So, yeah, it's just. Just waiting for the opening to be there so I can take advantage of it.
And you know, St. Preux has a tremendous body kick as well. It's one of my favorite things he does is that left leg to the body. It's fast and it's very accurate. So I'm sure you're well aware of that and working on something to defend against that.
I'm just working on being the best version of myself because I feel like the best version of myself is the best. So as long as I can be that and I can show up in that form, everything else will take care of itself.
So do you watch, we ask guys a lot, do you watch a lot of your opponent's tape or how do you feel about the minimal amount or everything?
I mean, we watch, I don't watch everything because, you know, people evolve. You know, I watch some of the recent things and then some of the things that I feel like that when they may have come up against somebody kind of like me and things like that. So, with some things that I like to do. But yeah, we break fighters down. We like to break people down. So it's part of the game.
Did you get excited when you saw it was OSP? Because again, he's got a name. He's got a pretty big name. This guy's been around.
Man, I've been out for a minute. I was excited to fight.
Yeah.
Excited to get back in there, you know, get back to work. But yeah, definitely. But I always since I seen OSP years ago, I always figured I'd end up having to fight OSP. You know, it's just for me. It's just coming around full circle now. It's just that time. You know, I'm here. I'm here. Like I said, whenever I first got signed in Raleigh, you know, they say this is the doghouse, but I'm a lion. I'll show you what happened. You know what I mean? When you let a lion into your doghouse, the lion was in the backyard with your dog. You'd be worried, wouldn't you?
Hey, fuck yeah, man! I keep my dog in the house. I wouldn't let my dog out there.
And then you gotta start looking at this situation because it's definitely that.
You got the lion in the backyard, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Scary shit. Jamal, did you grow up on mixed martial arts? Because I mean, 29 years old, did you grow up on this?
Yeah, I was always in the martial arts. I started out with the movies and things, you know, just wherever I can get knowledge from here and there, you know. I had some uncles that were in the military, so like they had some hand. My dad was in the military, so they had some hand-to-hand combat things, and my dad used to show me that built me into like natural. So it's like it all just like came natural. Plus, like I said, you know, I'm from the streets. I used to get in the fights all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So fighting has just always been something natural to me and things like that. Yeah.
Were you ever tempted to go into the military? A lot of times guys with military families think that might be the logical move, or is it always a no for you?
I don't know anybody that's rich from the military, so no, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
Jamal said he doesn't listen. He can be mean people in the belly. He doesn't want to be over this, you know?
Yeah. At what point did you decide to be did you go, okay, fighting is the way I'm going to make my living? Like, you know, you're fighting when you're younger, but at what point do you go, hey, I think I can make this my life?
For me, it was like, you know, I always wanted to be in the NBA, you know, the NFL and things like that. I wanted to be a professional. I always wanted to be a professional athlete. So after high school, you know, when I didn't have any scholarship offers, like, you know what I mean, other than like one that was like a partial scholarship, you know, and then like I didn't really have the attention that I wanted in those sports. And then I actually played semi-pro football for a little bit. And it was just like, I don't know, man. I took a break off and I was like, yeah, I got to figure out what I'm doing. That's when I linked up with my team that I'm with now. I've been with the same team since I was 18.
What team is that? Let's give him a shout out.
Oh, yeah. I can do more than that.
Oh, shoot. Get him some airtime. Oh, dude, get your shirt on. You're losing fans. I'm only kidding.
Here's my friend. Johnny Griggs, the dean of Touch Him Up University.
I love it.
I got my head coach, my jiu-jitsu instructor right here.
Hello.
Another ball jiu-jitsu man. Give me some. I like that. What's up, guys?
It's my no-gi instructor and one of my key training partners.
Very nice.
You know, UFC been bullshitting with my big dog. You know, I got one of the best heavyweights in the world right here with me. You know, this is who I grind with all the time.
Oh, there he is.
How's it going? How are we doing, man?
Good to see you.
All American wrestler and all of that. You know, all my guys, they pour everything into me. So, you know, yeah.
You're doing something right. You didn't taste defeat yet, man. You're doing something right.
And not even as an amateur, man. So, you know, I figure if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
100%. You know,
I've been with my guys since day one.
100%.
So I got with them. I linked up with these guys. And it just all fell together, you know. We were usually whenever I first walked in the door, my head coach, he was like, yeah, we'll train you for about like 6 months, see where you are down the road. I think after like about like 7-10 days, he's like, I think you're good. We're gonna set you up with a fight. You'll have about six weeks. So I think you'll be good. You know what I mean? I went in and I knocked the dude out in like 42 seconds, I think. Then I had another fight. I won that one in like 46 seconds. And then I had another fight and won that one in like 30 seconds. So it was just like, at that point, it just became kind of evident that, yeah, this is something that I could really do.
Yeah. You just realize, okay. And you know, it's funny, like fighting, you played football. You're actually probably doing way less damage to your body and your head fighting than you would be playing football.
Yeah. I done rung my bell a few times playing football. You know, because I was a physical dude. I was a physical player. You know, I played defense. You know what I mean? And then whenever I was on offense, whenever I played offense, I was just physical. You know, that was my thing.
What position on defense?
Defense, I play safety, linebacker. I played every position there is to play in football. But semi-pro, I played safety. And then, like, certain formations, I rolled up as, like, a hybrid, like, linebacker.
Have they done anything like in football? Are the practices the way they used to be? Because again, guys would, you know, be practicing every day, banging helmets. Have they done anything differently in the last few years?
They have. From what I've seen, they've changed it all around. Like you're not even allowed to hit certain days. Like high school, you're not even allowed to hit certain days. We was hitting every day. You know, every day we was in there just, you know what I mean, cracking each other. So yeah, they definitely switched it up a lot and a lot since I played.
And what do you think of, sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, me? No, I was just going to say, well, listen, you found the right sport for you. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, I felt it. I felt it right away. You know, like, all right, this is something that I wanted to do. And then I had fun learning as I process. There's never a time like I don't have like this thing like in the gym. I don't have an ego about this. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I get my ass kicked in the gym, I'm asking questions to this dude. Like, hey, yo, so what do I need to do? What do I need to do to get better at this? You know. And then with that, people showing me, and then people taking the time out, being patient with me, and things like that. It all came together for me, you know, and I enjoyed it. I enjoy what I do. I have fun doing it. I love seeing my guys every day putting this work in every day.
Speaking about enjoying what you do, I'm reading right here that the UFC is aggressively trying to loosen up restrictions on fighters smoking marijuana. And now I heard you've been previously punished by NSAC for testing positive. Hey, Jamal, me and you could have been hanging out ages ago.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, man, look. Look, I wish I had actually been smoking out this whole time. You know, that was one of the worst parts about it. It was I actually didn't smoke. I hadn't smoked for 4 weeks before that fight, and I still somehow popped because I was coming out of the quarantine, so I wasn't working out regularly. You know, I was just chilling, smoking. You know what I mean? I hit the dabs. I hit some dabs a couple times.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm assuming that's what it was. But yeah, I hadn't smoked for 4 weeks. You know, I'm sitting up watching my boys and shit, smoking everything, all that. I ain't even smoking. I still got punished for it.
Not cool. Yeah. Not cool. I'm glad they're trying to loosen that up.
Yeah, because it was like, man, I did everything I was supposed to do, and still got popped for it. So yeah,
I hear you, man. And when you get to my age and you still want to do jiu-jitsu, you got arthritis, you need that shit. I'm telling you. I'm not getting tested. I'm pissing hot.
Yeah. All right, Jamal. They talking about, like, it's not like, I don't feel like it's not a performance enhancer. It had nothing to do with what I did to Klitz and Abreu. You know what I mean? Right. If that's the case, protein shakes are a performance enhancer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I'm with
what it is. They did what they did. You know what I mean? All I can do is just go from here.
Well, you're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah, you really are. And again, OSP is a, you know, again, I've say it almost every week or every time I see one of these, I love a fight with a guy, a young, really, really hot prospect who's winning fights against a veteran. I like to see how they handle each other. It's you know, you never know. I mean, sometimes a veteran figures out a way to get it done, and a lot of times the young guy runs
this
right
ain't
through
that time.
Yeah, it kind of goes 50-50.
This ain't that time.
Oh, this is not the veteran's fight.
People like, I mean, and I understand he's you've seen, people have seen more from him than they've seen from me and things like that. But if anything, that should scare you even more. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna get too far off into it. We both gonna show up. We both gonna come to bang, and we gonna see what happens.
Hey, did it matter to you now? Again, you know that after your fight, Halle Berry texted Dana White. I mean, look, it's got to make you happy on some level.
It was cool. It was pretty cool. You know, I know a few. I forget when it was. She was actually out here in Vegas at the same time as I was. Like a couple months ago when she was at the Apex watching a fight, you know, and I commented on her tweet, tried to meet up for a picture, you know what I mean? Just a little picture, you know. I thought that would have been cool to actually to meet her and things like that. It was no mas. So the journey continues.
Yeah. Not yet. All right. Well, yeah, people are probably paranoid now with COVID to meet in person.
That's
motivation to winning. The more fights you win, the more she's going to see you. And then, you know, eventually you'll see her and she'll recognize you and she'll take a picture.
Hey, man. Yeah, Jamal, if I was you, dude, listen, it might have been a shit movie, but I would have rented Catwoman that night.
Come on, man. Come on, man. We on filter, bro. We on filter, bro. Monster ball. Let's go.
Yeah. Much better. Much better.
Holy shit, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great, great movie and a great, great
movie. That's a good movie. That's a good movie. I like it.
He won't right. on that.
Jamal, good talking to you, man. You know, good luck against Ovince St. Preux. It's a great fight, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, Jamal.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Jimmy, before we get out of here, so anyway, what else did we get? Bill Algeo. Algeo versus Spike Carlisle.
Spike Carlisle, yeah.
I'll tell you, Bill Algeo was supposed to be going to, I think, Mexico or somewhere with his wife on vacation. Either Mexico, I forget. I think it was Mexico. But anyway, he goes, hold the fort, honey. I got this crazy alpha ginger I got to take care of. I like, even though Spike Carlisle is now coming off a couple of losses, they should keep him around because I like.
They got to keep him around. It's never a shitty fight. He's
never
in a boring fight. He's great.
You know that he's fun. I thought Norma, but Bill Algeo was great. You know that kid. I'll tell you, I like that a lot. What else was I going to get to?
Norma Dumont, Ashley Evett Smith, or Jonathan Pierce over Kai Kamaka.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Norma Dumont, I thought, did excellent versus Ashley Evans Smith. She had a little trouble pulling the trigger. She looked like she was having a really like shitty day of sparring. Like, it looked like she just like kind of didn't want to be there. And it was kind of like she looked like she was frustrated about something else. I don't know what was going on.
That happens sometimes, right? When your head is just, you just get in and you just not,
something yeah. was off. But that, I don't want to take away from Norma because I thought she was on. She was great. She was. From the striking to adding in the takedowns, I thought she was good all around. You know what I mean? And I thought that was a nice performance by her. And I'm not sure what was up with Ashley. Maybe she just had an off night, or maybe just Norma was just, you know, that on. I don't know. But Jonathan Pierce, that was something.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what'd you think of that?
It was a great opening fight. I mean, I love when an opening fight, to the main event. On the main card ends like that, you know, a round two TKO, great fight. Pierce looked, Kai Kamaka looked good, but Pierce was, for some reason, I thought he was going to finish him in the first round.
Yeah, he was on a mission, Pierce.
Yeah, he really was.
I thought he looked phenomenal. Yeah. Also, let me just add this in. Nate Manis.
Yeah,
Nate Manis. Luke Sanders.
Luke Sanders, yeah.
Now, really quick now, because I gotta give some props to Luke Sanders. Of course, Nate did what he had to do. He won. But Luke Sanders was all over him that whole fight. He was all over him. And then one punch got him, threw him off. And then he ended up getting behind him. And then he ended up getting the back and choking him.
Wasn't Manis on the counter? Wasn't Manis doing really well on the counter? I thought that's where he was really like he was just throwing these sneaky counters and he was getting that's how he was hitting Sanders.
I felt that Luke Sanders was having a great fight. He was on him, and I'm like, this guy's experience is going to take him through. I think he's really on. Talk about a guy having an on night, and it shows you. That's why this fight. That's why this game is such a fun game to watch. But it could be so heartbreaking because for him. And I don't know why he was taking the gloves off. I don't know if he was retiring or something. I don't know if he just wanted to get out of there. But I hope he's not retiring. I don't know what that was. I'm getting an information update. Hold on. Remind me later. On my computer. But no, but I thought that Luke Sanders was doing great. And one little slip up and Nate took advantage of it and got that win. This laces out moment. You know what I mean? It's going to be kicking him in the ass. But I'll tell you. Up until that point, I was very impressed with Luke, you know? No, but Sumadeji, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a dangerous. I mean, I liked it. I mean, he came out of nowhere in the bantamweight division. And we'll talk about accurate striking. I mean, man, he looks like he has, like, a lot of power for a little guy, don't you think?
Yeah, and he also moves really well. He's extremely fast. Gordon looked very uncomfortable. From the moment the bell rang, he was the highest
first strike,
the most favored. I don't understand gambling terms. I don't gamble, so
yeah, but he lived up. He lived up to the hype. You know,
sure did.
He did great.
He did.
That's a great division now. A division that they were gonna scrap, but now it's just better.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't it fucking crazy? They were gonna get rid of the flyweights.
I told you about Gina Mazzani, how great she was. She said she's James Krause is, you know, really working with her and they're doing something right over there. They are. James Krause is a very good coach. And I'll tell you, I'd like to see what's next for her because Rachel's not an easy fight for anybody. She had a couple of moments where, you know, she got the back. She took the back from the north-south position, which was – it made a clip on the ESPN Instagram and stuff. It was out there. But, like, it looked cool. But when you get a position, you can't gain a position just to lose a position. People got to really fight not just for submissions when they're grappling also, but they also got to fight for dominating positions, whether it's back control, whether it's maintaining mount or side control, or obviously from escaping positions. But, they, you know, you don't want to just achieve – if she would have achieved that position – the back, that would have won her that round. And then she's back in the fight. Like, you know what I mean? If that was, that was the third round. I think that was the second. Anyway, Jimmy, it was a good fight. Good night of fights. Oh, we cannot.
Great night of fights. Yeah.
Oh, Anderson Dos Santos. Beautiful.
Martin Day, yeah.
Submission, guillotine submission on Martin Day. It was not his day.
Well, he's a good kickboxer. I mean, you know, a lot of times kickboxers, you know, if they're going to have any Achilles heel, it's probably going to be on the ground. Not always. And again, you get a guy like Adesanya, who was, again, that Vittori fight, really, really hard to take down, at least in the first two rounds. But yeah, once Martin Day went down, that was a tough night for him.
And, all right, Jimmy, such a good
time. Yes, sir.
Such a good time. Listen, apologize to your friend, Anthony Cumia.
Not at all.
I'm not a tech guy. I know he's a tech guy. I'm not a tech guy, unless we're talking video games. I got to talk to him a little bit about the video games and this and that. But, you know, I don't like to make you look bad. And I dick dialed you the next day. So I don't think I was calling you again to try to fuck.
I didn't even notice until I saw your text.
You know what it was? I was at Home Depot because we got to get a new fridge. It's not an exciting story. But I had to meet my wife and kids there. And then I noticed, I'm like, oh, I'm dialing somebody. And it was you. And I hung it up. And I go, now this guy thinks I'm probably calling about another problem. Jimmy, I'm not going to treat you like you're my shrink.
I don't mind if you call me. I mean, that was it. You were at the Home Depot. Like I'm trying to see how we could get 12 episodes out of that. That's a great storyline. I was at Home Depot, accidentally dialed my friend. We had some Zoom trouble.
Jimmy, when I talk to you, I forget that we have a lot of people listening. Yeah. Listen to me. What are you going to do for the rest of the day? Oh, you know,
well.
Oh, go ahead. Because I was about to ask you a question and not even listen.
I haven't slept at all, so I'm kind of relaxing. I'm going to have some dinner and get to bed. I got Jim and Sam tomorrow. We took today off because I had we took like a week off, so. Oh, I'm tired, buddy. I'm sorry.
I'm going to let you go. But listen, Jimmy, really quick. Penny Dreadful, I've been watching.
I started it, but I couldn't get into it.
You know what? I thought it a while. Don't. How could you say
so? I shouldn't.
It's not Dreadful.
You're right.
It's not the Mandalorian. But what it is, right, Jimmy? Yeah. But listen, this is the way. But such a good show. But Penny Dreadful, it's like a different take on all like the old monsters. From the Wolfman to Frankenstein, you know, Frankenstein. Yeah. And you got the Wolfman in there. And then you got a bunch of other witches and shit. So listen, hey, you know, give it a go if you want.
Sure.
Jimmy, I'm going to let you go. Anything else we got to talk about? I feel like we're forgetting.
No, I mean, if you want to marry Chipman's shirt, I'll send you one.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm going to get some new merchandise as well. You know, you can hit me up on Cameo and I wish everybody.
Yeah, I'm on Cameo too. I love it. It's silly, but it's fun.
I don't mind being silly for people.
No, I don't care.
All right, Jimmy, that was a good episode.
All right, buddy. Yes, it was. I'll see you Wednesday.
Yes! Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye.
Thanks, Marvin, and thank you, Jamal Hill. Great talk.
Later, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.